Hello, and thank you for listening to part 3 of the series entitled Waiting on God by Pastor Grace Jung of Forerunner Christian Church. What you are listening to is the English translation of the teachings which were originally given in Mandarin Chinese. May God richly bless you as you listen. The following is a testimony given by a sister.
This morning, while I was driving to work, I took time to memorize Isaiah chapter 26, verses 8 to 9, a passage related to the topic of waiting on God. It reads, "Indeed, while following the way of thy judgments, O Lord, we have waited for thee eagerly. Thy name, even thy memory, is the desire of our souls. At night my soul longs for thee. Indeed, my spirit within me seek thee diligently. For when the earth experiences thy judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness." It was amazing that as I recited these verses, there arose in my heart a deep longing for Jesus. Praise began to rise up from within me all the way till I arrived at my work. In light of experiences such as this one, I have come to know that taking time to wait upon God is something that cannot be missing from our daily living. In the same way that we gain an increase of the things of this world through hard work, we gain an increase of the presence of God in our lives through the diligence of daily pursuits of intimacy with Him. I started with 15 minutes at a time to wait upon the Lord. Then over a period of a year, my appetite for Him increased to 1 hour. I have also been touched deeply by the love of God to a point where I find myself stopping in the midst of my daily routines just to lose myself in Jesus' fires of passion for me. I also find myself so in love with God that I would often let out a sigh of deep satisfaction whenever I think about my relationship with Him. The taste of the love of Jesus is truly so sweet. It causes even the marrow of my bones to be filled with His goodness. It's just like what David wrote in Psalms 63 verse 5, where it says, "My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness." There was a point in my life where I couldn't understand what David meant. But now I can personally identify and relate to the reality of what he wrote. In the past, when I would come home from work, I would look for food to eat to satisfy my hunger. Now, what I find myself wanting to do is drawing close in intimacy with the one that I love. I remember a time where tears began to flow as I sat down to wait upon Him, because there was such a richness of the sweetness of His presence being poured into me. As I entered the service tonight, I heard the song, "I Have a Good Friend," being played on the piano. I came in not having any intentions of giving a testimony. However, as I heard the song, I knew that God wanted me to share because I had just had a wonderfully sweet time with Jesus while waiting upon Him this morning. It was so rich a time that I have to confess with my heart that I can no longer live without Him in my life. I love His presence. I want to dwell together with Him forever. I want to encourage you all to take your time memorizing the scriptures that relate to waiting upon God. Take it one scripture at a time and memorize it until the truth is planted in your heart.
The following is a teaching given by Pastor Grace Jung.
Have you taken time to practice waiting upon the Lord? I wonder if you have begun to develop a habit of waiting on the Lord on a daily basis. I hope this will be the fruit of the series of teachings, that more and more people will take time in their daily lives to wait upon the Lord. Furthermore, as you wait upon the Lord, you will desire longer periods of time with Him. We just heard a testimony by Li Hui. I want to emphasize that this kind of testimony is not limited to one person. It is a reality that you can experience if you are willing to draw close to the Lord in intimacy. If you do so, you will realize how real the inner spiritual life is. Many Christians long for deeper revelations of God's Word. However, the Word of God tells us the only thing that is eternal is love. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8 says that prophecy and tongues, the spiritual gifts of God, will one day pass away. But the love of God, the eternal love of God that He deposits within us, the love relationship that we have with God, will never cease. So even if we listen to a lot of sermons, know more and more about the Bible, as well as become skilled in ministry, we cannot experience an increase in the fire of love for God unless we take time to wait upon Him. The fire of love for God is something that is nurtured and maintained through seeking fellowship with Him. When we wait on Him, God sets aflame that fire for Him through revealing His beauty to us. We can experience heaven inside of us today. How does that literally take place? Well, it takes place through the times that we spend waiting upon God, the One who is true, as described in the books of Revelations, will deposit the reality of heaven within us. This way, a person can constantly live in the love of God, whether it is driving on the road, at home, or feeling physically hungry, or anything else. I sincerely hope that all of you will take time to commune with God. This is not merely a truth to keep in mind. Rather, this is a truth that calls for taking steps to apply it in life. When you do respond to this truth with action, you will personally discover just how sweet and real the presence and the fellowship of Jesus is. With the love of God richly dwelling in us, we won't be in bondage to the need for others to love us anymore. Instead, we will be ones that has the capacity to love others because we are filled and satisfied with His perfect love. Let's look at Psalms 62, verse 1. Here it reads from the NASB Bible, "My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation." David says that his soul is silent for the purpose of waiting solely for God. He says this because he acknowledges his salvation is from God and God alone. If we would also acknowledge, as David does, we would also quiet ourselves on a daily basis before the Lord. David was someone who knew God very well, and this is seen through the Psalms that he wrote about this God of his salvation. In fact, you will find that David was an expert at waiting on the Lord. He waited exclusively on the Lord. Now we also do wait on the Lord from time to time. However, because there are many other things that we tend to rely on in life, such as our smarts and talents, our wealth, our methodologies, and people, we still haven't arrived at a point where we wait only on God. But David is one who only waits on God. We'll address this more later. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 30, verses 15 to 18. Here it reads, "For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you were not willing, and you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee. And we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one man. You shall flee at the threat of five, until you're left as a flag on a mountain top, and as a signal on a hill. Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for Him." The idea here basically reflects what is seen in Psalm 62:1, where mankind's salvation is from God. If we desire to find deliverance and salvation in tough situations, we must return to the Lord and rest in Him. If we desire to find strength in situations, we must learn to quiet ourselves before Him and place our trust in Him. You see, God desires people to discover the mighty strength that is found in going to Him with quietness and trust. When I came to the United States in 1986, I was given a 10-year-old Volkswagen Rabbit to drive. In order to start this car up, it required that I turn the ignition key along with continuous pumping of the gas pedal. After a few months, I visited the East Coast for a period of 2 weeks where I had the luxury of driving around a brand new Cadillac. Now, I had just tested for a driver's license shortly before coming to the United States, so I was quite inexperienced with driving and cars. So the first time I drove the Cadillac, I started it up the same way I did with the Rabbit, by pumping the gas pedal. The sister who owned the Cadillac quickly instructed me not to do that, because the car will start just by turning the ignition. For me, I thought all cars needed the same starting procedure because of the experience I had with my Rabbit. I didn't even realize the car engine was running because it was so quiet. I learned from driving the Cadillac that a good working car functioned that way. In fact, the better the car, the quieter the engine tends to be, and the less noticeable that it is already running. Furthermore, even though there seems to be no sound coming from the engine, there's actually a lot of horsepower available to move the car. In the same way, we find strength in God through quietness. He wants us to realize that the greatest strength comes from being quiet before Him. Take, for example, the activity of worshiping God. Many of us already understand the power of engaging with God through loud praises. But if God begins to pour His presence amongst the congregation, and we don't know how to quiet ourselves before Him, it would be like a bunch of people standing around a table full of tasty food, talking about how good the food is, yet never sit down to actually eat and enjoy the food. If all we do is loud praising, which does bring the outpouring of God's Spirit, because He enthrones Himself amongst the praises of His people. We see that in Psalms 22:3. But not know how to quiet down to receive when the Holy Spirit begins to pour Himself amongst us, then our encounter of God will be stuck in shallowness. But if we learn to be quiet, as Scripture says, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all be still and silent before Him. Referring to the times when even the priests ceased their work to bow in worship due to the manifestation of God's glory. As well as in Revelations, where there was intense praise, like the mighty rushing waters along with bowing down in reverence to the revealing of God's glory. We have begun to understand what it means to wait upon the Lord. When we wait upon the Lord, our entire being is focused on God. However, you will find that some might sit there with their eyes closed, looking that they are quiet, and yet inwardly they are going through a lot of commotion. Thinking what to cook, what to eat after the service, as well as other things. God says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, and in quietness and trust is your strength. This means that if we desire to experience great strength that comes from God, we must learn to come to a place of quietness and trust before Him. Sometimes when God pours His Spirit upon a person, it could cause the entire body to shake due to the shock of being touched by supernatural power. Other times, when God is doing the work of releasing people from deep bondage, it might also cause the body to shake as the bondage is being broken. However, after a period of shaking, it is important for the person to come to quietness before the presence of the Lord. Some people like to continue manifesting just to show others that much power is upon them. Others may see people manifesting, such as the movement of the head and the mimic, the same motion, thinking that it is a sure sign of the work of the Holy Spirit. These approaches to physical manifestations are actually the work of the flesh rather than the work of the Spirit. Even if the Spirit has been poured with great intensity upon a person, causing violent physical manifestations, it is still critical that the person return to a state of quietness before the Lord. This is so that God's strength and presence can begin to enter into the depths of that individual instead of merely on the physical level. What we want is more of God's inner presence and strength, the abiding presence of Christ in us. This is something that we really need to understand. Look at how the Israelites responded to God's call for them to seek Him. He wanted them to turn to Him, rest in Him, be quiet before Him, and trust in Him. They, however, responded to God with unwillingness, as well as a plan to flee on swift horses from the problem that they were facing. You recognize here that God's people often respond to Him with quite an audacity like that? In light of God's direction, they said, "No way! How can we just be quiet and not do anything? No, we will ride on swift horses to escape." However, God's response to them was, "Well, therefore, those who pursue you shall be swift." This is a very clear picture of the modern day human lifestyle. People say the way to determine the technological advancement of a city is by observing how fast people are walking on the streets. Hurriedness defines the current age and society that we are living in today. Everything must be done in a fast pace. Mothers are caught in the busyness of busing their children to music lessons, dance lessons, computer lessons, and all sorts of other things their children are involved in. Their entire lives revolves around this. But in the end, their children learn a lot of natural skills in life rather than about Jesus. These children end up with very little knowledge and experience of Jesus, and thus are devoid of spiritual life. We are living in an age where everything is about doing things as fast as possible. All the while, we have not paid attention to what the Holy One of Israel has spoken here in Isaiah chapter 30. We should stop behaving like Israel and saying, "No, no," to God's counsel. If we continue to ignore God and choose our self-reliant ways by fleeing on swift horses, we will suffer the consequences. The consequences of "those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one man. You shall flee at the threat of five until you are left as a flag on a mountaintop and as a signal on a hill." What this is implying is that when there is a change for the worse in the environment of your life, you will suffer devastation. This is the ugly truth of how mankind has chosen to live. God, on the other hand, has prepared a provision of grace for His people. His people can regularly retreat inwardly in the midst of life's busyness to enjoy the peace and rest that is found in communion with God. There's a sister from Hong Kong who had been studying in a seminary in Taiwan for a period of 3 years. She had also served in the church for a period of 4 years. When she learned about waiting on the Lord, she decided that she would put that into practice. In the beginning, it was very difficult for her because she was accustomed to a hectic lifestyle in Hong Kong. In addition, she was a very capable woman, so she was proficient at being productive and fast in the things she did. However, after several months of practicing, waiting upon the Lord, she realized that her tendency to become easily stressed and anxious had progressively disappeared. It also transformed the way she ministered in the church. She began to apply what she had gained from waiting upon the Lord by inviting a sister who was suffering from not being able to feel the love of God to wait upon the Lord with her. Shortly after they waited upon the Lord together, she heard the woman say, "Oh Jesus, I thank you for loving me so much." It was such a moment of revelation for this minister. She understood that in the past, when she would tirelessly tell people to do this and do that, it was all from her own efforts and strength. Now she sees how God can be the source of her effectiveness in ministry. Her ministry approach underwent radical change. She no longer seeks to minister through her own intelligence and strength. Now, why does she encounter this? Because it says in verse 18 that the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for Him. God is trying to get the message across that they don't need to be riding on their swift horses to flee. He is actually waiting for them, wanting to release His grace upon them. In the same way, God is with us, waiting for the opportunity to lavish us with His grace. He looks upon us with His compassion because He understands how limited we are as human beings. We truly need to have a clear acknowledgement of our own inadequacies so that we can seek God's omnipotence and absolute abundance. Once we can come to grips with this reality, where we sincerely are aware of our lack, we will find ourselves truly willing to quietly wait for Him. Brothers and sisters, the more you understand that salvation indeed comes from repentance and rest, you will seek Him earnestly in times of spiritual lows, when you are facing challenges and are facing helplessness, and when you are bearing the baggage of hurts from the past that act as hot buttons in your life. Our salvation comes from the Lord. If we are willing to honestly bring our issues before His presence, asking Him for healing, asking Him for strength to forgive those who hurt us, and asking Him for deliverance from living in the bondage to the past, God will progressively transform you. I personally know of many amazing things that God has done to the brothers and sisters of our church. There have been relational transformations between wives and mother-in-laws, between husband and wives, through the process of drawing near to the presence of God. So when we find ourselves in weakness or trouble, instead of going through the less effective venues of reading a spiritual book or dialoguing with another person, we can draw inwardly toward God, who is waiting to release His salvation. He tells us plainly in this passage that those who wait for Him are blessed. It is a promise that we can bank on. So the question is, are you willing to wait on Him and seek intimacy with Him? There's a brother who met the Lord at a church in Hsinchu, Taiwan, while enrolled in doctoral studies. This brother also experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit within 6 months of his salvation. He had a genuine teachable spirit that enabled him to grow spiritually at a fast pace. Whatever he was taught, he received and put into practice. He served as a youth counselor as well as a camp counselor for the yearly summer's children's camp. The interesting fact is that this person had very little experience with taking care of kids. He was a bachelor at that time, and the prospect of him serving as a children's camp counselor made him very concerned. He sought the Lord, asking that He would grant him the wisdom and capacity to serve as a counselor for the children. 2 days before he was to leave for the camp, a little girl came up to him after an evening service and asked that he would hold her and tell her a story. After he told her one story, she asked for another one. He felt stuck because time was getting late, yet he went ahead and told her another story because he saw how much she wanted to hear another story. This little girl had no father because he had left the family due to a gambling addiction. When he was finished with the second story, the girl left very satisfied while he proceeded back to his university dorm. When he was waiting on the Lord that night, God brought back the picture of him holding that little girl and revealed to him how little love he actually had for her. God showed him the reason why the little girl was so attached to him was that she hungered deeply for love. God said to him that He was going to fill him with His love. Then all of a sudden, God poured out His love over this brother and told him that when he goes to camp, all he has to do is love them with the love that he has just received. God also told this brother that I often hold you in my arms in the same way you have held that little girl. Tears fell from this brother's face as he was thoroughly filled with the love of God. He went to the camp filled with the love of God, and he served these children with an amazing anointing of God's love. You have to realize that these camps are made up of kids from fourth grade all the way up to junior high. This is a very active and difficult to handle age group. Yet this brother shared that there was such an amazing abundance of the love of God flowing in him, enabling him to lead these children with much patience towards them. One day, after an assembly, he noticed that one of the boys in the group was sitting by himself, waiting upon the Lord. This brother went over there and sat next to this boy. After a long time sitting there, waiting on the Lord, the boy opened up his eyes and told this brother with a smile in his face that he had just been filled with the Holy Spirit. This touched the brother deeply because he was amazed at how such a young person could understand and appreciate waiting upon the Lord and the filling of the Holy Spirit. The following day, he saw the young boy sitting there after the assembly, again waiting on the Lord. As much as this brother was there to serve the young boys, he admitted that he gained tremendously through this experience. God mightily filled this brother with his love and empowered him to serve these young boys with great patience. Furthermore, God opened his eyes to the fact that even young boys are able to meet God in such an intimate way. This brother was called to serve in a capacity that was totally new to him. He had no idea how he was going to do it. Even if he was put through an intensive course on child psychology and development, it would not have done much because he just didn't have much patience to deal with children. He would not be able to truly touch the hearts and the needs of the children because he lacked a burden for them. However, he found help from the Lord when he quieted himself and waited before him. Though he did diligently pray, what he was looking for came when he waited upon the Lord. In the midst of silence and rest before the Lord, he was filled with God's strength to love children. Brothers and sisters, whether you are in a place of serving your family or serving in any ministry in the church, you must first gain the strength of salvation from drawing close to the Lord. This is over and above any skill or technique that others might pass on to you. This principle is to be taken seriously. You must pay special attention to this if you are serving in children's ministry. You can be well trained in all the theories and techniques of leading children, but if you lack the love, patience, and wisdom that comes from the Lord, the children will not be touched. They will see you as merely someone there to teach them another lesson. They will not respect you or connect with you in love. Those who are parents are also in need of receiving from the Lord the strength, wisdom, and love to care for their children. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "And so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief." In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, it says, "There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience." God's plan for the Israelites was a lot more than just leaving the land of Egypt. Ultimately, it was about taking them into the beautiful land of Canaan. The land of Canaan is signified as the place of rest, pointing to the fact that when Christ comes into our lives, we become a place of rest. In these passages, God explains the reason for the Israelites' inability to enter into rest is due to their unbelief. Looking at the life of David, we see him as one who could truly wait for the Lord because he was one who genuinely believed in God. There were at least two opportunities where David could have easily ordered his men to kill King Saul. However, David saw King Saul as the anointed one of God and felt no freedom to kill him. Even though David had already been anointed as God's next chosen king, he understood clearly that this position was not to be grasped through his own attempts. He understood that glory and honor comes from God alone rather than from him fighting for it. David's mindset is indicative of the type of understanding and trust that he had for God. One order would have ended Saul's life as well as all the struggles he had with Saul. It would have served the purpose of God's appointing him as the next king. However, David chose to quietly wait for God in this matter. He would rather see God accomplish what he had purposed. David was not going to take personal action in killing Saul to take the position as king over Israel. A person who cannot come to rest on the matter is indicative of a person who does not believe in God. We are often gripped with fear as we face circumstances, and that incites us to come up with solutions to our own problems. On the other hand, if we would take time daily to foster a foundation of trust in the Lord, we will not be easily shaken when we face situations where sickness does not seem to be getting better or solutions to problems does not seem to be available. We will not be people who are constantly chasing after people with certain anointing in order to find the answer to our problems. If we don't enter into this believer's rest in God, we will be susceptible to the influence of others around us. Now, why is this bad? Why is it bad to be chasing after all sorts of anointed people? What's bad about all this is that it steers away from seeking rest in God. Our hopes can easily be placed upon these people of great gifting rather than on God. But what happens if none of these anointed people can help us? Chances are, we will self-destruct in despair. In busily chasing after these people, we forfeit finding salvation in the King who is in us. The victorious one of Israel dwells within us, and he is one who is mighty. However, we cannot be aware, nor can we trust him, if we frantically chase after other solutions. In the charismatic circles, this is an ongoing problem as people's attentions are typically drawn to the individuals with special anointing and gifts. A person shared with me that people in their church who have unique gifts become celebrities because people flock to them with their problems. What the congregation does not see is that many of these gifted people suffer from lots of personal problems in the area of family, marriage, and character. People just tend to flock to them because they can cast out demons, heal the sick, and see visions. God disapproves of this behavior in the church because He is not interested in us behaving like superstitious unbelievers. Yes, God does use people to carry out His work. However, He wants all believers to trust in Him first. The reason why all believers ought to live a life of intimacy with God is because faith has to be established from within. Faith cannot be established by external things. You may say, "Our church is very spiritually vibrant." Well, does that mean that you are just along for the ride, counting on another spirituality, rather than having your own vibrancy? Can you still stand on your own when others are taken out of the picture? This is why I spoke on practicing the walk of spirituality in one particular summer conference. It is a continual practice so that it births genuine spiritual strength in us. It is a spiritual strength that is developed over time instead of instantly acquiring it from the laying on of hands. Laying on of hands in prayer may bring you strength for service and ministry, but it cannot give you the spiritual strength that you need for life. Spiritual strength for life comes from spiritual disciplines and from regularly seeking intimacy with the Lord. We may find ourselves wanting the spiritual life of the sister that gave the testimony in the beginning. However, if we only want and never let the rubber meet the road in practice, nothing much will take place. Don't think that somehow God favors certain individuals or that certain individuals just have more drive than you. The sister who gave the testimony started with very little, as she only gave the Lord 15 minutes a day to start with. However, She was consistent and sincere in her daily practice of seeking the Lord. Over time, our appetites for intimacy with Him will increase, thus increase our time for Him to 30 minutes or even an hour. This type of appetite for the Lord requires nurturing. When I first became a Christian, my morning devotional time was about 15 to 30 minutes, most of which is reading the Bible and praying for certain issues. However, as I began to wait upon the Lord, I would find even 1 hour to be way too short. I developed such an appetite for Him that I wanted more. I had to have 2 hours with Him before I felt full. This signifies that growth is taking place. A child would naturally increase in his capacity to eat as he grows. In the same way, we ought to grow and not be stuck with the same spiritual appetite as we had 10 years ago. As we grow in the Lord, the indicator of growth is how much time we are able to spend before the Lord. The indicator is not how good we are at serving in the church, how many years we have been a Christian, how many people we have helped, but how much enjoyment we get out of spending time with the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9 says, "There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God." In the Old Testament, the Sabbath refers to one particular day of the week where no work is done for the sake of maintaining rest. The Old Testament Sabbath is merely a foreshadowing of something else. In the New Testament, God speaks of another Sabbath rest that is prepared for the people of God. It also describes this rest as having Himself rested from His works as God did from His. Jesus said in the New Testament that He is the Lord of Sabbath, meaning that the true significance of Sabbath is our daily acknowledging of Him as our Lord in our lives. We rest from our own works and we let the Lord of Sabbath be our Lord. Sabbath then is our personal worship of God. Not only does the New Testament talk of true Sabbath as being a resting from our own works, it also admonishes us to be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. Diligence means that we are to work hard at entering into a state of resting from our own works while we focus on trusting the Lord. When we are not careful to be diligent in entering into that state, we suffer the danger of falling from following the example of disobedience. Today, we really suffer from a lack of sincere trust in God as we live our lives in busyness, confusion, hurriedness, and seeking help from all sorts of directions. There are many Christians who love to attend conferences, yet stubbornly unwilling to practice waiting upon the Lord in their daily lives. True, these people do receive genuine outpouring of the Holy Spirit during the conferences. However, they still have not personally entered into a place of resting in the Lord. God describes this condition as unbelief. There is unbelief towards God being our greatest salvation. There is unbelief in God as being the source of our salvation. The truth is, all the salvation that we need is residing within us. God, who resides within us, is bigger than all of our problems, and He is worthy of our trust. This is a critically important practice of faith for all believers. When we talk about waiting upon the Lord, we talk about drawing close to Him regularly as we learn to wait for Him to work in our circumstances. Waiting for Him to work means that our eyes are focused on Him while we wait with great confidence that He will work things out. When we hold this disposition, it gives God the freedom to bring more revelation of His character in our lives. There is a mother who regularly brought her only and dearly loved child to Sunday school. However, this third grade child was showing little hunger for the Lord. That made both the mother and the Sunday school teachers quite concerned about this child, and they prayed earnestly about the matter. One night after 10 p.m., the child told her mother that he was missing a school textbook. He was worried because he had to go to class the next day. Instead of panicking, the mother invited the child to seek the Lord with her to see if the Lord had any words for them. After only about 3 minutes of waiting before the Lord, the child suddenly jumped up, ran towards his desk, and drew out the textbook from the gap that existed between the desk and the bookcase. God had shown the child where the book was in that short time of seeking His presence. After the child found the book, he quickly returned and knelt beside his mom to continue waiting upon the Lord. The child then started praying to the Lord, saying, "Jesus, I thank you for dying for me and saving me. Jesus, I love you." This child had a true encounter with God that night. It is very easy to be quite anxious and concerned about our children's spiritual lives. However, rather than being worried, how about entering into the rest of the Lord? Wait for opportunities where they are facing crises and lead them to seek the Lord in restfulness rather than being drawn into the panic of the moment. Respond to those situations by creating an environment where the salvation of the Lord can be displayed in their crises. If we don't live a life of waiting on the Lord, we should not expect to have depth in our spiritual lives. Furthermore, we won't have much capacity to understand the will of God in life. We may even grow in our abilities to serve, as well as in our knowledge of the Bible, without much change in our character. We can lead Bible studies, lead small groups, lead worship at church, and yet be very far from God. Unless we live a life of intimacy with the Lord by nurturing our love relationship with Him, we won't discover how real His presence can be within us. At this point, I want to explain the difference between waiting upon the Lord and praying. When we pray, there is a tendency to be caught up with our concerns and issues. With those issues filling our heart and mind, we expend our energies in making petitions and requests to the Lord. Therefore, prayer is usually quite us-centered as we bring before the Lord all sorts of needs and issues. Waiting on the Lord, on the other hand, is placing the center of our attention on God. Our thoughts revolve around the one that we are drawing near to. This basically defines the difference between praying to God and waiting upon Him. Waiting on the Lord gives Him time and opportunity to access and work in our inner man. When He has access to our inner man, He deposits into us revelation of Himself and power according to His ways. There are differences between prayer and waiting on God. I once stayed over at the house of a lady while ministering at a church. This lady, a mother, asked if she could wait on the Lord together with me. As a result, we would spend time on Saturdays waiting on the Lord together. Having waited on the Lord with her, I would admonish her that she has to also do the same on her own during the week. She took my advice seriously and diligently practiced waiting on the Lord every day. After only 1 month, all of her family members could testify to the drastic changes in her. Her kids shared that her disposition had changed from being gloomy to being very sunshiny. She then explained to me the differences between the effect of waiting on the Lord versus praying. She shared that in the past, after having prayed, she would still have the weight of her burdens. However, since learning to wait upon the Lord, her burdens are lifted, even though she doesn't say very much to God. The reality of the matter is that through waiting upon the Lord, He has fully taken over her burdens. When I heard this from her, I was assured that she has indeed practiced what she has instructed to do. Our salvation has much to do with whether we turn to a place of restfulness in the Lord. God desires that we keep things simple as we pursue spiritual growth. It is our own human intellectualism that overcomplicates the spiritual life. God breathed into Adam, and he was made alive with a spirit. That breath of life is the Spirit of God enabling Adam to live. Would it be too difficult to understand that the most important thing for Adam to do was to continue breathing in that breath of life from God? Now, if we can understand that salvation comes fully from the Lord, then we might actually be willing to draw from Him every moment of every day. Just silently draw from Him all that we need for life in the same way that an electric razor recharges on its charging stand. If you look at those who practice the Chinese martial art of Qigong, you would discover that they are very aware in their practice of the principle of drawing energy from nature. I have heard them say that they can draw this natural energy, this qi, from a tree. What they don't know is that the real source of what they think is qi is actually strength from the Lord. But this source of real strength is actually residing within us as believers. We need to learn to go inward and draw from God as our source of strength for life. Again, I am fascinated by those who pursue Qigong. For the sake of bringing health to their bodies, they will spend hours a day meditating and trying to gain this qi. When they first start, they have to go through the challenges of learning to be still, as well as controlling the so-called qi. There is even danger in the practice due to sometimes losing proper control of this energy. However, because they value the good health that they are pursuing, they will spend all the time and effort perfecting this qigong. Now, why are Christians so foolish about what is important? We have the great and mighty source of life living right within us, and yet we are stubbornly unwilling to draw strength from Him. By the way, I want to add here that I am not promoting Qigong at all. That is drawing strength from the wrong source. What I'm talking about is drawing strength from God and God alone. A minister serving in full-time ministry has a lot of pressures that many cannot comprehend. There are a lot of times when I wait on the Lord, I will suddenly feel anxiety resting on my shoulders. However, the presence of the Lord will draw me further inwardly to Him, causing the release of that anxiety and birthing tremendous rest within me. These times are clear encounters with the presence of God moving with power within me and bringing me lower and lower to a place of full rest. A weeble, which is a children's toy, stays upright because the center of gravity is very low to the ground. This toy is an illustration that spiritual stability comes from drawing deeply inward where God resides. All of man's methodologies in science and medicine are merely a minute reflection of what God has deposited in creation. However, God has made available His saving grace through repentance and rest, and His strength through quietness and trust, referring to Isaiah 30, verse 15. Attaining to this requires regular practice. Whenever you finish a task, take a few minutes to draw near to God before going on to the next thing. And before starting any task, entrust it first to the Lord. When you develop this as your routine, you will discover that the burdens of life will no longer crush you. This is good because the burdens of life tend to press us towards anxiety and nervous breakdowns. On one occasion, a brother was helping someone with his homework, but they were having great difficulty in solving a particular problem. They worked on it till past 10 p.m. at night to no resolve and were feeling quite frustrated. At one point, this brother advised that they drop what they had been working on and take time to draw near to God. Amazingly, after having spent a time of waiting upon the Lord, they were able to solve their problem within a period of 5 minutes. The brother returned home with great joy. It is sadly our tendency to spend a lot of time working and striving to resolve a problem instead of entering into a place of rest in the Lord to find His salvation. A brother who was working as a research assistant in a major university shared with me this testimony. One day, he was assigned to give a lecture to a group of master's and doctoral level students. He prepared for the lecture by recording what he had planned to say in order to listen to it first. When he heard his recording, he was greatly disturbed at how terrible his presentation sounded. At that moment, he was 1.5 hours away from having to give the lecture. Coincidentally, he had been attending a meeting where I was teaching on the discipline of waiting upon the Lord. They were told in the meeting to practice by taking an hour during the week to wait upon the Lord. Since it would take about a 30-minute motorcycle ride to get to his lecture, this brother had to make a choice on how he would spend the 1 hour that he had. He could either use the hour to make some revisions to his lecture notes or spend the time waiting on God. He chose to wait on God. And in that time of waiting on the Lord, he worshiped, expressed his love for him, and trusted his upcoming lecture to God's sovereign hands, and found true rest in God's presence. After giving the lecture, he was utterly amazed because the entire class erupted in applause. He didn't make any changes to his lecture notes. What made the difference was he had acquired strength from above because he chose to enter into a place of restfulness in the Lord. There are countless testimonies like this in the areas of studies, work, marriage, and family, and physical ailments. God invites us to trust Him by ceasing from our own striving and entering into His rest. What should you do when you find yourself in anxiety, busyness, helplessness, and weakness? Should you respond with striving to find solutions by frantically looking for different people who might be able to help? Or would you be willing to return to the Lord and enter into restfulness with Him? God really is the salvation to our troubles, yet somehow His people are just not willing. That is why we see in the Bible that His people are constantly fleeing from being chased by their enemies. Have you noticed that when you live a life of striving on your own to resolve problems, your life tends to get more and more frantic? This is because you depend on yourself to carry the weight of your problems as well as find solutions to them. A life lived out in this manner is nothing but increasing anxiousness. However, if we would learn to lean and trust in the Lord in everything, we will find His salvation to be utterly amazing. God provides help even in the area of skill where it normally comes from practice. Let me share with you this testimony. There was a couple from the church in Xinzhou who had to go back to their hometown in Taizong to have their wedding ceremony. I instructed them that they could ask the pastor's wife in Taizong to serve as the pianist in the ceremony. However, a few days before the wedding, the pastor's wife called me and informed me that the couple was really hoping that I would be the one playing the piano. Since I was pastoring them at that time, they considered it special for me to play for them. As much as I was taken by surprise at the last-minute request, I found it hard to reject the bride-to-be, so I accepted. Being only a few days from the wedding, I had very little time to practice the two songs that were selected for the wedding. Furthermore, the songs had to be played in all four parts because I was to accompany a full vocal choir. It was a difficult task because most of my playing centered on melody and simple chords. According to my piano skill level, having to play the songs along with the wedding march seemed like an impossible task. And in that moment of pressure, was I to hurry up and get practicing as much as I can? No. I still went to God and told Him that I want to first draw close to Him and seek His salvation over the matter. I spent about 1 hour drawing close to Him before I started practicing the piano. As I practiced the songs, I was truly amazed at how quickly it took me to play the songs proficiently. In terms of the wedding march, God gave me insight to write simple notations on the sheet music to help me play through it. That was how God brought me through that entire situation. I was filled with thankfulness to God for helping me through something that I really had no ability to resolve. So that is why I say that God works even in situations pertaining to skill. Typically, skills such as playing piano come only through hours of practice. However, God has a way if only we are willing to turn towards Him and let Him be our salvation, our strength, and our help. Brothers and sisters, we really need to wait daily upon the Lord, as it says in Psalms. If we truly understand that our salvation comes from the Lord rather than from pastors or anyone else, then we will have the determination to wait only and daily upon Him. If we can understand that the essence of our life comes from the Lord, then we ought to be wiser than the Qigong practitioners in the way we approach God to wait upon Him and to draw life from Him. If you feel nothing when you first begin to practice waiting on the Lord, try conversing with Him until you sense you have entered into His presence. Once you sense that you have entered, you can quiet yourself down and just love Him and enjoy intimacy with Him. The longer you sustain that time, the deeper the Lord will work in you. This is something that requires practice, and not one minute of it is spent in vain.
This concludes part 3 of the series entitled Waiting on God by Pastor Grace Jung of Forerunner Christian Church. Please do continue listening to the rest of the teachings in this series. As a reminder, do take time to practice waiting on God in order to truly benefit from this teaching. May God richly bless you.